This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
Tonight I want to give to you the tactics that Satan is going to use in 2021. This is how the devil is going to attack you and me and the church, the nation, this year. We have seen that in the previous year. And we spent most of the year, just to be honest, in a daze, going from place to place, thing to thing, not knowing anything that was going on. And it's not God's will for God's people to be clueless in this world. We are to know, we are to see, we are to feel, we are to operate no matter what's going on. I want to use this verse as a springboard. And I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures throughout here, so hang tight with me. This is one of those. You may not like it when I first say it, but if you'll give it time to sink in, you may see that you've been duped a little bit. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The Apostle Paul has written to the Corinth church, and he has written to them after the first letter. Man, the first letter was a bomb. I mean, he blew their tails out of the water. He told them everything they were doing wrong, told them they needed to get it right, told them how to get it right, and evidently they did. And Paul writes the second letter to them, and in this second letter he says, you did a great job. He says, you've done a wonderful thing obeying what God has told you to do. And he says this, he says, you've got it right. Now be careful. Because you don't want to be ignorant of how the devil is going to come after you and get an advantage back over you when you've worked so hard to get victory over him. He said, we don't want him to get an advantage back over us. For we are not ignorant, unlearned, foolish of his devices. Now, when I looked at that word ignorant, what Paul is saying is, we are not brain dead about how the devil operates. So then how can the devil get such an advantage? It's simple. Because either A, we don't think about what the devil is doing to us. It just comes, it just hits us. It's like a tsunami out of nowhere. Or B, when that thing happens to us, we do not equate it with spiritual warfare. When that thing comes, we don't put two and two together and say, hold the phone. That's not natural and that's not normal and that's not of God. And that has to be of the devil. Beloved, I'm telling you right now that the devil is so busy in our nation, in our capitals, in our congregations, in our whatever you want to say, he is at work right now, and I'm telling you, some of the most brain-dead people are the people that ought to be absolutely alive and aware that what we are going through is a satanic assault from an adversary that despises us and that wants to tear us, rip us, and remove us from every advantage that God has given to us. Whenever the Apostle Paul said that we are not ignorant of his devices, what he is saying, it's a warfare term. He is saying, when the devil or the enemy comes against you, do not be ignorant of the tactic he's going to use in the battle that he's going to bring. It was a Roman strategy, a Roman warfare. If the enemy could ever guess where the attack was going to come from, how the attack was going to come, and who was going to bring the attack, They were not afraid. There would be nothing to get an advantage over. Because if you know what the enemy's going to do, when the enemy's going to do it, and how the enemy's going to bring it to pass, what in the world can he possibly do to you no matter what he brings your way? If the devil brings or the enemy were to bring a big fireball, if you knew it was a big fireball, what are you going to bring? Huh? You're going to do something to put that mess out, whether it's water, an extinguisher. If you know that the devil is going to bring, or the enemy is going to bring gasoline to the battle, what's the one thing you're going to make sure it within shot of the entire battlefield? Anything that could light that. So no matter what the weapon is, if you know what it is, how it operates, and when they're going to bring it and who's bringing it, you've got nothing in the world that can beat you. And that is what God tries to tell the people of God. We get so afraid of what the devil has brought against us, and God says to you and I, he says, why in the world were you overtaken by that? The devil should have never gotten that advantage of you. You should not have been ignorant of his devices. Last year, I don't know what happened to us, but for all of the generations and the decades before, I guess we thought we were on a cruise boat with Jesus. I guess we thought everything was just lovely and happy in the land of the living. But last year, you know what we realized? We realized we were not on a cruise boat, but we were in the middle of a battlefield, and the devil was trying to sink our ship. And 2021, we all of a sudden didn't pull into the spiritual Bermuda, and all of a sudden they're waiting there with Tahiti glasses and the lays that they put around your neck. Honey, we are still in the middle of General Satan's warfare. We are still in the middle of the battlefield, and if we are ignorant of his devices, we are going to be overtaken again. We're going to be overshadowed again. We're going to be beat again. And that is not the devil's, the God's of heaven's desire. That's the devil's desire. So I've been thinking about it. I've been praying about it. I've been processing it. I've been looking at it. And I've been trying to put scripture with it, because I don't want to give you what I think. I want to give you what the Bible says. So here are the three great tactics that the devil is going to bring against you and against us and against the church and against the nation and against all of these different things. This is the great tactics of the devil. And Miss Kim, they're going to be out of order. Just as the Holy Spirit brings them to my mind is what I'm going to give them to you. Here is going to be the first tactic of the enemy. The first tactic of the enemy is going to be the tactic I call self-trust. The tactic is going to be called self-trust. And this is what the devil is going to say. He's going to say, you better watch yourself. You better make sure that you try to look around the bend. You better make sure you get wise to a situation. You better make sure that you try to look down the way. You better make sure that you've got that base covered. You better make sure that that angle has been covered. He's going to do to us exactly what he did to Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. Do you remember what the devil said to Adam and Eve? He said, can I ask you a real serious question? Hath God really said that you shouldn't eat of that tree? Eve said, oh, that's exactly what the Lord said. The Lord said we couldn't eat of that tree, because if we eat of that tree, we're going to surely die. Think about what the serpent said to her. He said, no, no, God really knows the truth, that if you eat of that tree, you're going to know good and evil. You're not going to need God if you'll eat of that tree. You're not going to need the guidance of the Spirit of God. You're not going to need to trust in the Lord. If you eat of that tree, you'll have all the answers. If you eat of that tree, you'll have all the knowledge. If you eat of that tree, you'll know where to go. That's exactly what the devil's going to do to us in this day. He's going to say to us, now folks, last year you saw how quickly everything shut down. You saw how quickly everything went away. You better make sure that you work as much as you possibly can. You better make sure that you do as much as you possibly can. You better make sure that you don't go places that you shouldn't go. My wife was doing hair the other day doing some makeup thing for some wedding or something like that. And she gets all types, honey. There ain't no other way to put that. She gets all types, just like you folks that deal with the public. I mean, honey, she gets all types of people that come and get their makeup done for their wedding. So this lady came in the other day, and she came in and she sat down. And we never know. You never know where they come from. You never know their background. You never know their social leanings. You don't know their political leanings. But I have a motto in my house. My house, my words, my rule. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to be what I'm going to be. And so the other day, some lady came in, and I knew it was going to be mighty interesting, because on the back of her vehicle, on one side, it said Appalachian State University. And on the other side, there was a thing that said coexist. I thought, this may be a customer that I want to be inside when they start giving their little words and their talks. Well, Erica's in there, and y'all know my wife. She is as kind as they come. She's not going to offend anybody. She's not going to hurt anybody's feelings. My friend, did not get that social grace when it comes to the world in which we live. That woman came in. She sat down. Erica does what she always does. She always tries to witness by taking it into the realm of church. And she said, now, are y'all from this area? That lady said, oh, no, we're from up in the mountain region. And she said, oh, okay. Well, do y'all go to church up there? And the woman said, no, we don't go to church up there. And they looked at Erica. They said, do you? Erica said, well, yes, ma'am, we go to church. She said, well, what's it like having been shut down? Erica said, well, just to be downright honest with you, we're not shut down. We're going to church. That woman puckered. I'm talking, she squeezed every crevice that she had. She said, you mean you're going in big crowds? And my wife, God bless her heart, sometimes, I mean, she just has those comebacks that will cut you to the core. And my wife, she kindly lowered her comb and her hairspray. She lowered that can of Big Sexy, and this is what she said. She said, well, we just kindly figure if we're all going to Target together, we can all get together in the church house together. And that woman, she changed the subject very quickly to another mode and mechanism. But here is the mindset. Now, beloved, here's what I'm telling you. There is a mindset that we feel like that we can protect ourselves, that we can guard ourselves, that we can take care of the problem. And here is what we're finding. We're finding with this virus, we're finding we cannot protect ourselves as much as we would like to protect ourselves. Now, beloved, I'll be honest with you. I wear my mask when I go out there. I wash my hands. I ain't shaking hands because I want to do my part. But at the end of the day, I cannot believe the lie of the devil that if I sit in my house and do nothing, everything will be okay. That's not the way it works, because if I don't die from coronavirus, I could still have a heart attack. And if I don't die with a heart attack, I could still have a stroke. And if I don't have a stroke, a timber could fall on my house. And if a timber doesn't fall on my house, I could still have an electrical short in my house. I'm not telling you to be crazy, but I am telling you that it's a demonic lie that if you'll take everything in your hands and if you'll take everything in your power, everything will be okay. That's not the way God works. That's not the way the world works. And you can do all you want. You can go, you can cut church, you can go to church. You can take control of your life, take control of your money. But how many times is God going to have to come through for us that we're just going to finally say, I put my faith in your hands? Did God take care of us all last year when the whole thing shut down? Some of you lost jobs. Some of you lost clients. Some of you lost all that stuff. But last year, honey, I'm telling you, our God, He met every need we had. He took care of every valley we had to walk through. He helped us up every mountain we had to climb. We crossed every river we had to cross. Here's why. When you put your trust in God and take it out of your hands, you'll be amazed at what happens. But that's a lie that a lot of people are biting into. I got to do what's best for me. That's not true. You have to honor God. You have to obey God. Do I think you ought to wear a mask? I think you ought to wear a mask. Do I think you ought to take a bath? I think you ought to take a bath. I think you got to do your part. And I think you got to let God do His part. There's this lie we've bit into. I'm going to preach in 3 weeks for an 86-year-old pastor. 86 years old, Scott. When's a man going to retire? I called him yesterday and I asked him. I said, brother, when are you going to retire? He said, I'm looking to when I die. He said, then when I die, I'm going into evangelism. Say amen right there. I said, what are you talking about? I said, are you kindly? So I'm supposed to preach for him. And this brother, he always wants to go eat before church. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't never been interested in sitting on top of anybody, and I really ain't interested in sitting on top of anybody right now. So if that restaurant ain't doing what I call you spread the goose around and go over there, I ain't piling my carcass in that place. And there's this restaurant. I knew this restaurant. They are carcass holders together. They love piling people on top. I said, brother, I said, well, I just want to ask you a question. Do you mind if we go to another restaurant before church? I'll be happy to pay for it. It doesn't matter where you want to go. You pick it. And this is what he said. He said, why? I said, well, I'm just not real. He said, don't you trust the Lord? And I said, now hang on now. We didn't talk about this trust. I said, hold on. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm riding down the road. He said, you driving? Yes, sir. You talking on your phone? I said, yes, sir. He said, you got a better chance of dying in your car talking on your phone than you do eating with me in that restaurant. I'll see you at 6 o'clock next Monday. And it hit me. Occurred to me. Do you know how so much of this stuff is of the devil? Because it's told us if we take the power in our hands, everything will be okay. That's self-trust. Can I give you a few verses to help you, beloved? And we've all done this. Before COVID, we were doing it with our finances. Before our finances, we were doing it with our marriages. Before our marriages, we were doing it with ourselves. COVID's just another thing in a big, long line of stuff where we like to be God. Can I give you a few verses? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, or a seed begging bread. People say, are you worried about the economy shutting down? No, I'm not. Are you not worried about the stock market crashing? No, I'm not. You say, is it? Probably. Is the economy going to collapse? It could. But the same God that was in charge when we didn't have an American economy, and the same God that was in charge when we didn't have money, and the same God that helped you in that little 2x4 trailer you lived in when you first got married, is the same God that'll help you now when you've got what you've got how you got it. He's the same faithful God today as he was way back there. He is still God, and he's still in control, and he does not forsake his people. That's why we trust in God. Number three, Psalm 94, 14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many times does God have to come through for us in order for us to trust him? That's going to be everywhere this year. Take it in your hands. Be in control. You know the problem with self-trust? We're never really in control, even when we think we're in control. And then when things get out of control, we want to blame everybody else because we lost control. We must give it to God. Number two, now this one's going to really bless you. I can tell y'all ate that first one up. Y'all really going to like this one. Can I tell you where the devil's going to really come after us this year? Number two, disinformation. Disinformation. The devil's tactic in our hour is to keep everybody looking everywhere than where they should look. I have been told over the last week and a half that I was going to be under martial law and I was going to lose my power. I have been told that my wife was leaving, and I have been told that my house was going to be foreclosed. I have been told that the president was doing this and Joe Biden was doing that. I've even been told that the extended warranty on my car is about to run out and I must do something about it. I've been told a lot of things. And you know the problem with almost everything I've heard in the last 3 weeks? None of it is true. I talked to one of those men in India the other day that said that my car's warranty was about to run out. You know what I told that booger? I said, brother, I ain't never had a warranty on this car. I bought it used and it was clunking down the road then. I didn't have a warranty then, and it ain't run out between now and never. Can I give you a scripture that I want you to write down? It's in the book of 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. Do you remember King Hezekiah? King Hezekiah is the king in Jerusalem. And Assyria takes over the northern kingdoms. And Assyria comes against Hezekiah. As he comes against Hezekiah, this is what the ancient armies would do. They would send a soldier called a forerunner. And he would go before the coming army. And he was called the Rabshakeh. The Rabshakeh in 2 Kings 18. He comes, and the Bible says this about Rabshakeh. He says that he goes outside of the archer's bow, and he stands at a distance, and he shouts at the men on the wall. Here's what the Bible says, in the Jews' tongue. You know what he's saying? What we just did to those people, we're coming to do for you. This is what we did to the women. This is what we did to the children. This is what we did to the men that rebelled. It's coming. And here's what would happen. The disinformation campaign, they call it propaganda. And the disinformation campaign, when the army would rise up over that hill, normally by the time the army came, the people inside were so mixed up, they would lay their swords and their bows down and would surrender off of a disinformation campaign. Beloved, over the next 6 months, maybe even longer, you are going to be told so many different things. You're going to be told this is going to happen, and you're going to be told that's going to happen. You're going to be told this is going to collapse, and you're going to be told that that is going to collapse. You're going to be told that this is going to fall apart, and you're going to be told that's going to fall apart. In the nation, you're going to be told that. In your own life, you're going to be told that. You see, the devil's been on a disinformation campaign against me and you ever since we got saved. He's going to tell you God really doesn't love you. He's going to tell you you really don't know what you're doing. He's going to tell you your marriage really is falling apart. He's going to tell you your health really is failing. He's going to tell you you really don't know how to raise your children. He's going to tell you there really is no hope for your situation. He's going to tell you God really isn't listening to your prayers. He's going to tell you things are really going to fall apart. He's going to tell you there really is no hope for you in God. He's going to tell you you're not going to make it. But you know the problem with the devil? He's been a liar from the beginning, and he's never had an ounce of truth. So here is the answer for the devil's disinformation campaign. Are you ready? Here's what your answer needs to be for the next 6 months to a year. Unless God says it, don't believe it until you see it. If they say that the army's taken over, until you see G.I. Joe go down your street, you don't need to believe it. If they say the economy's gonna collapse, until you go to the store and bread's $95 a loaf, you don't need to believe it. Unless God, here's where the devil's ultimate goal is to get you. To be so confused and disbelieve everything that when a preacher stands up and tells you something from the Bible, you say, there's no way that can happen. There's no way that's ever going to be true. Can I give you a verse? I want you to remember this verse. Romans chapter 3, verse number 4. Here's what the Bible says. God forbid, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. So if God doesn't say it, you don't believe it. You can't go off of the things. You do understand there are people in this world who make money to get you to click on their stuff. That's the way this world operates. Number three, here's the third tactic of the devil. Are you ready? Third tactic the devil's going to throw at you and has already done it. It's the tactic of fear. The tactic of sheer, unadulterated, unbridled, unattainable, unconquerable fear. That kind of fear that keeps you up at night. That kind of fear that never gives you ease. That kind of fear that you can never get past. That kind of fear. I'm reminded of something that took place. Now, if you've never stayed with me, I want you to stay with me because I've got something so revolutionary. I called four people this morning, interrupted my study to tell them. I'm telling you, I've never seen what I have seen, what I saw this morning. Do you remember in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story of David and Goliath? Do you remember in that story? Let me give you a few verses. You know the story. In 1 Samuel 17:11, whenever Goliath stands up, this is what happens to the men that are in the army. Watch what it says at the end of the verse. And they were greatly afraid. Do you see that? They were greatly afraid. He continues to pump. He continues to birth. He continues to rile them. And it says in verse number 24, it says they were sore afraid. You see, that's what you and I are facing today. We are facing an enemy that if we conquer it ourselves or try to face it ourselves without weapons and without the guidance of God, we will die. What would happen if a soldier went out there without being told to go out there by God? Was Goliath going to kill them? You bet your bottom dollar Goliath would kill them. Beloved, if we go out here and lick signposts and lick handrails and go out here and just live flippantly like a lot of people do, we're going to get sick and die? You bet your bottom dollar we'd get sick and die. God's no respecter of anybody. I'm telling you, you go up here and act like a fool, you'll be dead. But David comes to the battle. And when David comes to the battle, he makes a statement after he talks to Saul in verse number 32 of 1 Samuel 17. Now here's what I want to show you. Don't miss what I'm getting ready to say. Watch what it says. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail him because of him." Do you see what it says there? It says, "Let no man's heart fail," because it doesn't say, "Let no man's heart fear." It says, "Let no man's heart fail." When you look at Goliath, 9 foot 9 inches, is there not something to be afraid of? When you look at the legs and you look at the thighs and you look at the arms and the brass and the shield and the weaver's beam spear, is there not something to be afraid of? Yeah. When you look at coronavirus, is there not something to be afraid of? If you don't think there is, let's walk up here to Cone Hospital, put us a suit on, and go in the ICU ward. But watch what David said. He said, "God, just because I'm afraid doesn't mean I stop." He said, "Let no man's heart fail." That word fail is the Hebrew word nymphal. And the word nymphal, it means to lay yourself prostrate. David said, "I know he's big. I know he's bad. I know he can kill us. But I'm still going. I'm not stopping. I'm not shutting down. I'm not tucking tail. And I'm not running." Beloved, can I tell you what a lot of people have done? I've done it myself. I've let the fear of Goliath make me lay down. I've let the fear of what will happen if stop me. What will happen if, and there's a lot of people that will watch us tonight online, and I'm not telling you to be flippant. I'm not telling you to be foolish. But there is a Goliath, and so many people just lay down. Now, lest you think I'm telling you to be foolish, when David fought Goliath, he took with him three things. In verse number 40, David didn't go alone. David took three things in verse number 40 of chapter 17. Number one, the first thing he took, the Bible says, he went with a staff in his hand. A staff in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the staff in the Bible is that thing that keeps me from going too far out of the reach of God. It is that thing from going in a direction that isn't right. It's the leading of the Spirit. I'm telling you, I've had pastors that call me, and this is what they say. They say, "Tell me what you're doing. Tell me how you're doing things." And that's what I have to tell them. I don't want to tell you that. I'm just doing what God's telling me to do. You got to do what God tells you to do. And I'm telling you, beloved, you can't operate based off of what somebody else tells you to do. You've got to do it for what God tells you to do. If the Holy Ghost of God says, "You better slow your roll," you know what you better do? You better slow it down. If the Holy Ghost says, don't let that stop you. You don't have to let David took the staff. Number two, look at what he says. He bends down and he takes five smooth what? Stones. Stones. Second thing he takes are stones. What are stones? Stones are chipped out pieces of a big what? Rock. You see, big rocks in the Bible are pictures of Jesus. Therefore, little stones are pictures of the words of Jesus. They are that which have come from Him. Now, what does it mean? How do we know it's the Bible? Look at what it says. It says He took five, what kind of stones? If a stone is smooth, it's been in the water how long? Long time. It stood the test of, that's what the Word of God's done. You see, pastors, you know what you're going to find in the next couple of years, children of God? You're going to find out which pastors really walk with God. You're going to find out which pastors are really in the prayer closet and really getting a word from God, because they're not going to be able to operate just off what everybody else is operating. They're going to have a smooth stone to fight that battle. You know, too long we've been able to read a book and make it happen. Too long we've been able to find a mechanism and make it happen. Brothers and sisters, you know what we're going to find now? Who's really got a word from God? Third thing he took is he took a sling. He took a staff, he took stones, and he took a sling. What do you use a sling for? To do what? To throw a what? A rock. You know what a sling is? A sling is a picture of the words of our mouth. It is the projecting of the word. Can I tell you what people need today? They need the word proclaimed. It's not just preachers, it's people that testify. It's women that are doing hair and say, let me ask you a question, where do you go to church? And when they say, oh, I don't really go to church anywhere. And you say, oh, you don't go to church? Well, let me tell you about a church. Oh, you're still in church? That's the preached word. It's when you're out on a job and somebody says, what do you think about this whole world? And you look at them and say, well, the world may be going to hell, but I've got a home in heaven. That's throwing the stone and letting it hit the giant in the head. Can I tell you the only thing that will knock down the Goliath of fear in this world? It'll be the Word of God that drops the stone, that drops the giant. The devil's going to so get people afraid. They're going to be so afraid. I deal with this, and people tell me all the time, they say, preacher, I'm just too afraid. I'm afraid if I get sick, I'll have to do this. Or I'm afraid if I get sick, I'll have to do that. I get it. I'm looking at the same Goliath. I've got the same Goliath looking at me that you've got looking at you. But at some point, I've got to let my fear take a back seat and not let my faith fail. I'm not going to the battle alone. I've got to get a word from God. People asked me the other day, we're going to have revival this year? I don't know. God gives me a word, we will. We have Jubilee this year? I don't know. God gives me a word. Because I don't want to do anything out of the will of God. I don't want to do anything out of God's will. If God doesn't tell me to do something, and you better operate in that this year. You better operate in that this year. Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to be obedient to you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to guide me in every single decision that I make. Brothers and sisters, there's going to be some tactics that come, but when they come against us, we're going to survive, because we are not ignorant of His devices.